Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the weekend show, also your host throughout the week at our website, kereport.com, as well as our podcast, Corlin Economics Report. It was another very busy week for us. A lot of editorials, a lot of company updates. So please, everybody who's listening on the radio or who just tunes in on the weekend, take a little bit of time and go back and click on especially some of those company updates, as well as maybe find some of your favorite analysts that I bring on and follow along with them. Also, please, everyone, keep in touch. Fleck at kereport.com. I love hearing from each and every one of you. I'm kicking off this weekend show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, it was a busy week this week in terms of news out of the Fed, out of even the U.S. government, and a lot of data that has been trickling out in terms of U.S. economics and, quite frankly, the U.S. economy still is doing pretty well. This rebound seems to be underway, even though we saw the GDP number that was released this week miss estimates. It was still over 6%. Jesse, out of this data, what's been catching your eye?
Well, I'm still just, you know, monitoring a lot of the signs of inflation. You know, we've seen commodities prices just scream higher. And there was a great chart. I can't remember which one of the major brokers put it out, but it's basically just the number of companies on conference calls talking about inflation. And it's just screamed higher this quarter to levels we've literally, you know, never seen before in the 20 years that they've been following this data. So literally companies in all sectors are talking about supply constraints and rising cost pressures. And it's just astounding to me that the Fed is so confident in calling these inflationary pressures transitory when, you know, from everything I look at, inflationary pressures don't show any signs of abating anytime soon.
How long can the Fed, do you think, stay with that narrative of saying this inflation, it is transitory? Because in all fairness, look, last year at this time, the world was a very different place, especially when it comes to the economy. So how long can they use that argument that inflation is transitory?
Well, I think, you know, once we get through these few months where, you know, the quote unquote base effects are really making numbers look, you know, much higher than they otherwise would. You know, if we still have strong inflationary pressures into the fall, and, you know, then I think the pressure is going to be on the Fed to address it. Now, there's two things, you know, that I really do think that, you know, over the intermediate to long term are really going to maybe come back, and bite the Fed in terms of, narratives around policy. And those are, one, the Fed has been exacerbating wealth inequality for a long time now, at least the last, you know, 10 years or so. Now, that is going to create potentially political problems for the Fed in continuing to pursue the extreme experimental monetary policy they've been pursuing since the financial crisis. Now, at the same time, too, the Fed over the last 12 months, you know, through this rethink of policy has said we want inflation to run hot. They've changed their inflation targeting such that they're no longer going to try and cap inflation at 2%, but they want it to average 2%. And that means it needs to be higher than 2% as often as it is lower than 2%. And I think we're already seeing problems with that policy. We're seeing food costs, you know, scream higher, gas costs, and so for people that are out of work or, you know, in the lower income branches, even if they do have a job, you know, you're seeing, you know, incomes have been stagnating, obviously, for 40 plus years now. And now we're seeing that cost of living go screaming higher, not to mention the cost of buying a home. I mean, so many people are being completely just priced out of the market. And, you know, all of these things come back to Fed policy and, you know, are going to be problematic for the Fed at some point.
So it's not just the Fed either. It is also the U.S. government, all governments around the world that are continuing to pump money into the system or into the market. But Jesse, what do you think it'll take to change the Fed's course? If they said they're okay with higher inflation, we're getting higher inflation. A lot of people are saying, well, if a market crash happens, then they're going to be more aggressive. What's it going to take for them to wind back some of this policy?
Well, you know, my friend Bill Fleckenstein has said eventually the bond market will take the printing press away from the Fed. And that's basically, you know, if interest rates start rising, and really, to me, it comes back to inflation. You know, the Fed believes they can always, it's a lot easier for them to battle rising inflation than it is for them to battle deflation. And this is why we've seen this rethink is, you know, the zero lower bound policy is where the Fed becomes impotent. You lower rates to zero, you buy a bunch of bonds, and that's basically all you can do. And you reach the limits of monetary policy. And so that's why the Fed has said we need to create inflation because we're not comfortable reaching the limits of what we're able to do. And they believe it's a lot easier for them to rein in inflation than to reverse disinflationary trends. And so, I do think at some point, and this is something that I think a lot of people are thinking about right now, is if in the past the Fed would see these types of inflationary pressures building and would start to get ahead of them by raising interest rates and making sure they don't fall behind the curve of inflation. Now they've decided we're not doing that. We're going to let inflation rise and we're not going to try and head it off. And so what that creates is the potential for inflation to run really hot and the Fed to be way behind the curve. So what then do they have to do in order to rein in inflation if it proves to be not transitory? Well, then the Fed's going to have to go from the zero lower bound to, you know, raising, you know, by 50 basis points several times in a row to 50, you know, 100, maybe 200, 250, 300 basis points in a short period of time in order to try and rein in inflation. Now, imagine if the Fed went, you know, in a 6-month period from zero to 300 basis points, what that would do to risk assets. It would create a major problem, I think, for the stock market, which has come to expect 0% interest rates forever. So I do think the Fed is playing with fire right now with inflation and to pretend that they have the confidence that inflation will, you know, prove to be transitory is just a dangerous game.
Jesse, how likely is it, though, in your eyes, that the Fed does provide that big of a shift in policy and goes from zero to, 300 basis points, even 200 basis points in a short period of time? Is that actually going to happen in your eyes?
Yeah, if we start seeing inflation numbers, you know, a year from now, when these base effects are clearly gone and we have inflation running 3%, 4%, 5%, the Fed is going to be forced to do something about that. And because the risk is, and this is really what the Fed has been trying to do, is they want to, is Paul Volcker was incredibly successful in breaking the inflationary mindset. He convinced not only Americans, but the world that he was going to do whatever it takes to rein in inflation. And he created a lot of credibility for the Fed by he did that. He broke the back of inflation. And then, you know, since that time, everybody's believed the Fed will never let inflation get out of control again. And it's really those inflationary expectations that are more important than inflation because they can be self-fulfilling.
All right, Jesse, unfortunately, we have to wrap up the first segment here, but I'm bringing you back on next segment, and we will continue to discuss inflation, inflation trends, and expectations, as well as discuss how this is all impacting markets and commodities. So everybody stick around. Jesse Felder and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com, that's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com, or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, taking into consideration and into account the inflation outlook and expectations that you outlined in the first segment, Well, I want to talk a little bit about U.S. equity markets then. First and foremost, the markets really broadly across the board in a wide range of sectors, everything has done well ever since that washout just over a year ago at the start of the pandemic in North America. Now, obviously, there's a lot more money in the system, and that money has made its way into a wide range of sectors. But as a general comment, how do you view the overall health of markets currently?
Well, you know, the markets, for risk assets, mainly primarily the stock market, is most, I think, attuned to this discussion over asset purchases. And everybody's kind of on pins and needles waiting to see when the Fed is going to start talking about tapering, because we all know that they're going to start talking about it well in advance of doing it. That's something that, Jay Powell has said. Powell was on the FOMC, when they started tapering in 2013, and he was one of the members that was advocating for tapering back then, and he saw what happened with the taper tantrum. And so I think what he has said, is that he's going to address that by giving advance notice, well in advance. So they're going to talk about tapering well before that they're going to do it. They're not going to just say, hey, in the next several months we're going to start tapering. He's going to say, hey, 9 months from now, six and 9 months from now, we're going to start tapering probably. And so, I think that the market is waiting to hear that. Like, we've talked about many times, Corey, the stock market is a discounting mechanism. It likes to discount, a year or 18 months into the future. And so, I think that's what the market is doing right now is looking at the Fed and saying, hey, we're probably going to get a rate hike by the end of next year. That's what the markets are pricing in right now, which means we're probably going to get tapering sometime in the next, 12 months or maybe even sooner. They might need to start tapering by the end of this year. And so, if you think about that and kind of walk backwards from that, they need to start talking about tapering here almost any day now to give the markets a good 6 months notice before they start doing it.
How important is it to look around the world, too, and see what other central banks are doing and how other countries' economies are faring during this?
Yeah, I think there is some lag between, obviously, a country like India that is seeing case counts just absolutely explode and is not able to manage the virus as well as some other places. Yeah, the recovery is going to be staggered. And that's going to make a difference to, investors in those areas. But I do think what the markets are discounting now is that, it looks, from the way the vaccine rollout is happening here in the U.S. and even, Israel's kind of probably a good example for the rest of the world that we are going to get past this. And that's really the optimism in the markets, that's being expressed right now is it's the inverse of the fear that we saw a year ago when, we were just learning about the virus, markets crashed, everybody's worried it was going to be a major, blow to the economy. And it turns out, we did have a V recovery in the economy and in earnings. And so, I think that's probably what markets are pricing in around the world.
So when it comes to investing then, Jesse, look, like I think you are right in the sense that fear has left the markets and as COVID gets a little bit more under control and people are maybe more optimistic and well, we see that reflected in the markets plus spending habits of individuals. But in terms of investing right now, it's impossible to tell somebody to go out and short these markets because they would have just been run over this last year. But where do you stand in terms of finding some investments and some opportunities out there?
First of all, I have to disagree with you. I think the markets have been a great place for shorting over the last few months. You just have to be very tactical. And to me, you know, you look at all these stay-at-home stocks, you know, that did so well. These have been great shorts over the past few months, whether it's Zoom or Peloton or any. I mean, you know, the ARK Innovation Fund has been, you know, a wonderful thing to try and trade from the short side. More recently, you know, small caps have gone nowhere since February. I think that's an area where we can look to be tactically short, because small caps are just obscenely overvalued right now. If you think about, you know, what has benefited most from the reopening trade, it's been small caps. And I do think probably what we're looking at going forward is not just inflation, but stagflation. You listen to all these companies that are talking about supply constraints, and they're all, you know, I mean, all the automakers are shutting down production. So their costs are going up and they can't produce vehicles. And so that is not great for the economy. It's not great for their earnings. And they're just, you know, probably the prime example of a trend that's happening to a lot of companies right now. And so I do think there are opportunities on the short side. But to me, you know, inflation is here. The numbers are going to start reflecting it in the next few months. And to me, I don't think, when I'm doing a lot of this research, I keep coming back to the conclusion, I can't own enough gold right now. That is just, it's so out of favor right now. And with inflation picking up, there's no way that Jay Powell is going to be able to allow the long end of the curve to keep up with inflation over the next few months. And I don't think it probably would anyways. But, you know, we're looking at, you know, 1.5% on the 10-year, what, 2.25% on the 30-year treasury. If inflation is going to go 3%, 4%, 5% over the next, you know, few months and couple of quarters, you know, that's going to mean that 30-year yield is significantly negative in real terms, which is incredibly bullish for the gold price. And, you know, to me, gold has had a very healthy correction since last summer. We're entering into the seasonally strong period of the year for gold prices. It's out of favor. We've seen massive outflows out of gold ETFs. Just as all of these fundamentals are lining up for, you know, to push the price higher, I think we could see gold scream higher over the next few months.
Well, Jesse, we'll wrap it up on that comment. There's no denying that precious metals have lagged a wide range, almost every sector that has continued to move higher over this last about 7 to 8 months. It has been an encouraging rebound in April for at least the gold price, but there's still a lot more work for gold to do and still a lot more money to come into the sector that's been made in other sectors. We'll see what that turning point is to actually drive some more money into precious metals, if it does depend on a U.S. market pullback or if there's something else that needs to transpire. We'll be following up with you probably next month and seeing just where metals go from here. Jesse, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA Radio News.
I'm Brandon Gunnell. President Biden visited Philadelphia on Friday to stump for his newly proposed infrastructure bill. He spoke at the 30th Street Amtrak station, celebrating the 50th year of service.
I've come to see that Amtrak doesn't just carry us from one place to another. It opens up enormous possibilities.
Amtrak said after Biden announced the plan that the corporation would upgrade and expand service. Senator Joe Manchin, the moderate Democrat from West Virginia, said in an interview Friday that he opposes legislation to give Washington, D.C. statehood, effectively killing a Democratic-led effort to reshape the American political map. The House narrowly passed a bill last week along party lines that would make the nation's capital the 51st state. President Biden has endorsed the measure, but Democrats have a 50-50 majority in the Senate and lack Republican support, meaning Manchin's defection makes it impossible to pass it in the current Congress. This is USA Radio News. Due to rising COVID-19 cases, President Biden has imposed a travel ban on India. USA Radio's Wendy King has more.
The U.S. is restricting travel from India beginning on May 4th. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the policy comes due to extraordinarily high COVID-19 cases and multiple variants circulating in India. The health ministry in India reports nearly 3,500 deaths over the past 24 hours. Restrictions are also in place on travel from China, Iran, much of Europe, Brazil, and South Africa. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
The first release of genetically modified mosquitoes in the United States began this week in the Florida Keys. A vocal group of Florida Key residents have fought the release of what they call mutant mosquitoes since the project was announced. Local authorities are hoping that the new genetically modified variants of the mosquitoes will help reduce the population of mosquitoes and reduce the diseases they transmit. This is USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. I am now switching focus a little bit more to the resources, and in this segment, the precious metals, as I am chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, let's just quickly recap the month of April for the precious metals. You and I are recording this about halfway through the day on Thursday, so we don't know the close at the end of April, but I think we can both confidently say that gold and silver will close this month higher. Now, that is after a pretty consistent sell-off month after month. I realize that gold was due for a higher close. The last time we had a higher monthly close was back in December, but one of the arguments being for gold is that it still hasn't taken out the downtrend channel that it's in, and quite frankly, it is still below a couple longer-term moving averages, like the 200-day moving average. Doc, what's your takeaway from gold's action in April and how that leads into May?
Well, you know, every once in a while a dog has its day, and we have to have an up month. And we had, when this all started, we had about four down months, and then we had an up month in December. And then we had three more months down as far as closing lows, I'm talking about. And now we're going to have a closing high. So that's a good thing. But it doesn't tell you much. We're still in that monthly channel, which I've been watching for months. And now going forward, as far as May is concerned, You know, of course, we have three possibilities. We get a nice reversal and gold really screams higher, which I think is the odds of that are less than 5% by looking at the monthly chart. The other possibility is that we move a little bit sideways yet, and it's a non-plus month for May, which is another possibility, and that's a real possibility, by the way, Corey. Or we have we move down again to test the lows of April, and we have a little bit of a heavier down month. Those are the possibilities. Now, if we trade a little sideways, like we did in March on the 12-month moving average on MACD. If we do that again, we're going to probably be in the range of April. But then June could be a very difficult month if we see that happens. So I'd rather see a down month next month, and then a little bit more in June, and then maybe we get a break from this for a while. But that's what I see, Corey, but I don't see us taking out the downtrend line on that monthly chart at all.
So, Doc, what are some of the levels that you're going to be watching when it comes to a gradual or general pullback for next month, or even if it bleeds into June?
If we can stay in the area of 1700 to 1800 for May, it'll be an accomplishment as far as I'm concerned.
Doesn't that take out the downtrend line then? If it does hang around that 1800 for a couple more weeks, that downtrend line is right around 1800 right now.
Well, not on the monthly chart, it isn't. And so we're okay there. We're stuck in the middle right now on the monthly chart on the upper downtrend, but the lower downtrend line, if you do it as a parabola. Then we're okay yet. But so you want to stay within 1700 to 1800, but that worries me a little bit because then June could get kind of ugly. I would rather see us move down a little bit more and not have June as ugly, because here's the key, and I've been saying this right along, Corey. We gotta work this move down on the monthly charts where we can get a sustained movement back up. And we're not going to get a sustained movement back up if we start to turn up here, because we could have play out what happened way back in 2011-12 where we double top, and I don't want to see that at all. I'd rather keep moving down and consolidating and then wait for the next big move up, because if we double top and then we come down, it's going to be ugly for a long time.
So, Doc, I understand that last year, 2020, gold went on a crazy run, especially in the first half of the year, and now we're working off some of those excesses, but it's already been 7-8 months, and that's about as long as that big run to kick off last year lasted. Now, I realize 2019 gold was running higher too, but that was a bit more of a gradual rise. So when is enough enough then?
Well, I'm afraid it's going to get the bulls pretty depressed for a while. I hate to say that. And I think we're going to have to be very patient here. But like I've always said, by being patient, you're going to get some really fine buying opportunities here. And some stocks have come off to where they were, and they're decent companies and they have good management. So there are going to be opportunities, because if you take your time to purchase these and take your positions wisely, I think the next move could be the one we've all been waiting for, where it's really going to be a massive move. And I think that's going to be because of the money printing and the inflation we're going to ultimately experience. It's going to take time to work itself through the system. But with the way they're printing money now and some of the numbers we're seeing with CPI and others, I think it's on its way.
So, Doc, in your eyes, and there's a number of different reasons and arguments for this, but why do you think commodities broadly are running, but the precious metals are getting left behind?
Because, I think some of it's weather issues, it looks like. It looks like it's going to be a lousy planting season for the farmers as far as agriculturally. And the other one is a supply line issue, which may be worked out if we ever get done with this COVID thing. You know, where we start to see the global economy opening up. So I think that's the reason you're starting to see a lot of this right now, Corey. And as we're aware, certain mines have been shut down, you know, and they will be reopening as far as some of these commodities are concerned with. But right now, the CRB is looking real good, and it's going to continue, I think, for a little while as well. Copper has just been phenomenal. And I regret selling one of my companies, which is going even higher, but I hold other copper companies as well. But I think we're coming to a point here on the monthly chart on the CRB where it's going to have to decide whether it continues its move higher or whether we topped out here for a while and it starts to move sideways to down a little bit for a while. And we're getting close right now.
Doc, what about silver? Because silver, it held up, and it is still holding up, better than gold when you look at the last about 7 to 8 months. However, the argument was silver was really benefiting from this rise in base metal. Silver has that industrial use, and that was helping support it. I've noticed in the last, let's say, month, maybe two, that as base metals have run higher, silver has kind of been left behind now. Where does silver fit into this picture?
Silver is really struggling here, Corey, and I still feel that we have one more leg down in silver. I don't like the what I'm seeing on the 200-day moving average on silver chart. It's starting to move almost sideways, and that's a real warning. It doesn't have a nice trajectory up anymore, and we've been sitting right on that thing. And I think I'm very uncomfortable with silver, and I think we have more move down in silver yet. And I still think the odds are very good that we see about $23 on silver, and hopefully that's low. If we get there and it stabilizes, then I think the worst is over for silver.
Okay. Hey, Doc, appreciate your time this weekend. I know you're getting under the skin of some of those gold bugs, Doc, but in all fairness, you have been pretty spot on with your calls. Doc, thank you again for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
To wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are shifting our focus a little bit more back into the resource sector, but outside of just the precious metals. We are chatting with Doc Jones. He's becoming pretty well known on our website, also well known on a lot of the resource blogs out there as Dr. Jones because of, well, his articles and his insights into different companies that he likes and also breaking down some of the factors within different resource sectors that he thinks are either being overlooked or completely mistold to the market. Doc, we're going to start off with battery metals, more specifically nickel. Look, in the last couple of years, battery metals have really come back onto the radar, and that was after a period of time there where people weren't paying a whole lot of attention. But again, this is really the second run, from what I can remember, in the last maybe 5 or 6 years that battery metals have had all around this whole green initiative and the building out of new battery technologies. When it comes to nickel, that has been doing very well, still in an uptrend, what's your research shown you about the nickel market and where it could go here fundamentally?
Oh, hi, Corey. Thanks for having me back. It's interesting. You know, I think investors really need to be careful of just buying into the latest trend, unless you really understand the industry. For example, nickel, there is lots of talk about shortages of Class 1 nickel and prices were going to go sky high. But if you look back about 6 weeks ago, nickel had its largest two-day drop in history. It dropped 22% in price. And the reason for that is Tangshan Holdings in China, they have these large pig iron nickel mines in Indonesia, but they also have a process in which they can convert that into Class 1 nickel. And they've been doing that for years, but on a small scale, just when they needed to. But now, because nickel prices are favorable and there's a lot of demand for Class 1, they're expanding that capability. And therefore, that means that the market will be well supplied. Anytime there's not enough, they will produce more and capture the extra margin on doing that. So there'll be a floor on the nickel, but there'll also be a ceiling on the price because of that. So a lot of people, I see investors, they've dived into names that just have nickel in it, or they see a 2-meter intercept of 1% nickel, and they throw all their money into it without completely understanding And what that means also is that it's less likely someone's going to build an underground mine for nickel sulfide unless it's really huge and of a great grade, because they can convert, you know, pig iron nickel from an open pit into class one. So that's kind of the dark side of investing in resources. If you don't know the sector, if you don't understand what you're investing in, then don't. You really should have a working knowledge of it, and you'll avoid disappointment that way. And as far as within the battery metals, there's a lot of things going on. Like, the chemistry has not been set. So if you take, for instance, people are piling in the graphite, but they're also looking at replacing graphite with silicon. There's that going on. There's also they're engineering out cobalt using a a high magnesium battery. Magnesium, there'll be nickel in it, but even less nickel too, right? So that means less nickel, zero cobalt. So if you take away the future demand for cobalt in batteries, what are you left with? You're left with a cobalt price that's substantially lower. There's all those things, as well as, you know, you look at for grid storage, for example, they're engineering out the use of lithium in grid storage batteries for large capacity ones, where they, one of the possible chemistries is the zinc ion battery, which is a hell of a lot cheaper, charges faster, has a greater energy density. So the jury is still out, so to speak, on which of these battery metals are going to be the winners. So one should be very careful when investing. The only one that I know for sure that it's going to do well is copper, because, you know, as far as transporting electricity from point A to point B, you know, it's going to be copper. You're not going to use aluminum. You're not going to use silver. Those are much too expensive. So, you know, on the periodic table, copper is the clear winner.
It's one of those where all roads seem to lead back to copper, isn't it? Because battery metals, they are smaller markets, and yeah, they can go on these runs, but again, everyone needs copper to build out this infrastructure. Now, Doc Jones, does that mean that you're staying away from the battery metals sector? Is there still a couple select companies that have your attention?
Yeah, I'm pretty much staying away from it. I get my battery metal exposure through, you know, the industrial metals, you know, copper, zinc, lead. So that's how I'm playing it there. I'm not specifically in like a graphite or lithium play, you know, like with those type of opaque markets for graphite and lithium, cobalt. You know, unless a company has an offtake agreement and has a really large deposit, as well as the financial capabilities to prove to the end consumer of their of whatever product they're producing that they will be around for years, that they can get the mine up and running, nothing's going to happen to that deposit. So yeah, that's how I'm getting my exposure that way. I'm also playing the battery metals to the opposite, with investments in oil and gas, because for one thing, baseload power, nuclear still is not getting the traction that we all would hope that it would. Like recently, this report came out that production's falling in the U.S. again, and once things are reopened, the demand is going to be insatiable. So I'm looking at markets that have a built-in supply deficit on the horizon. So that would be oil, copper, zinc. Yeah, so those are my primarily ones, and silver as well. You know, I get silver exposure through polymetallic miners that also gets me my green energy exposure that way.
Okay, hey, that all makes sense, taking some of these other metals that, in all fairness, also have a lot more uses than just in the battery and electrification world or movement that we're going through. Let's talk about some of those base metals then. Copper and zinc, you've already outlined why you like copper. What about zinc? What's your research shown you about any of the maybe supply or demand imbalances upcoming?
Well, if you look at zinc on the supply side, there hasn't been any new zinc mines come on in the last, you know, decade of size that's going to be able to handle the demand that is rising right now. Zinc prices have exceeded a 3-year high as well. You know, even without the possible green energy demand, you know, the galvanizing sector we have iron ore prices at historic highs, steel production in China way up. You know, we're coming out of a prolonged, protracted period of low to negative economic growth. The amount of stimulus and infrastructure spending that's going to be going on, we've got a minimum of two consecutive years of booming GDP growth, which is directly related to infrastructure spending, construction, all those things. You've got lumber. Lumber, an all-time high. It's up, what, 300% in the last 2 years? You know, all these things. And zinc also goes into a lot of other things besides galvanizing, rubber, brass, paints. You know, all these things that will be needed for construction, either residential or commercial, as well as infrastructure. So that's what I really love about zinc. And it's also, it's a market that most people don't really think about. You know, people, your retail investors are generally concerned with gold and silver, right? Maybe copper. But these other industrial metals are very important, and you can make a lot of money with them. So that's what I like about the zinc market. And you find a nice polymetallic producer or explorer that is going to be producing copper, zinc, lead, silver, maybe gold. You know, you get all of them. You get them all at like one-stop shopping, so to speak. Yeah, so I think that's where investors need to look, especially right now, because the jury's still out on gold as well. You know, I think gold is stabilized, and I don't think it's going to, we won't see below $1,500 an ounce, but I do think it'll be challenged to be above $2,000 in the next year. A year from now, I think gold will start to ramp up, but in a lot of cases, I think it's going to be dead money unless there's, you know, company-specific news flow.
All right, Doc Jones, we need to wrap it up here for the first hour. But if anybody wants to hear the full interview with Doc Jones as we do talk for another about 10 minutes, you can visit our website, kereport.com, and click on that weekend show posting. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back replaying a webinar, roundtable discussion with royalty companies that I hosted middle of this week. I hope you all enjoy the second hour, and thanks again for tuning in to this weekend show.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin? And as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.